Welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we have honest, explicit, yet wholesome conversations about sex, pleasure, and the joy of intimate connection. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, where we are ready to train your touch and level up your erotic skills so you can experience more of the sex you want. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com/free if you are new to the show. And if you've been with us for a while and want to go deeper, you will find next steps at pleasuremechanics.com/love. On this episode, we are offering all of us a little primer on erotic first aid. What to do when things are going right, everyone's having a good time, and all of a sudden someone gets hurt or there's an accident or an injury of some sort. I am offering this on the tail end of my recovery from a pretty bad sex injury recently. And the injury itself was probably the most severe thing I've experienced as like a result of like good things gone wrong in all of the sex play I've done in my lifetime. But because of the first aid that was offered to me, the immediate in the moment care that was offered to me by a fairly new lover, a fairly inexperienced and young lover, in fact, it was okay, and I'm okay, and our relationship is okay. And this really made me think back to my last sex injury, which was much more minor, but had a much bigger impact on my heart and our relationship. Ultimately, trust was broken far more than flesh. And it really made me want to offer this episode, this offering of what do we do when our lover gets hurt? How do we administer erotic first aid? How do we break that down into steps that we can kind of listen now? This is one of those episodes, like, I hope you never really need to use. But the thing is, as we were discussing this episode, my injuries, and I'll share a little bit more about what happened, but they were during sex. This could also happen like on a roller skating date or a hike or any other time you're spending really with a lover, whether an established lover or a new lover. People get hurt. And accidents happen, and how we step up in that moment really matters for both like the immediate outcomes and the long-term relationality. So welcome to Erotic First Aid Training, Sexual First Responder 101.
Yes. That is awesome. Yeah, this is just great to have in your toolkit. Just taking a minute to think about how we want to respond in moments of urgency or emergency is valuable so we can be prepared to take care of ourselves, our bodies, and our relationships mm-hmm. with as much care and attentiveness as we want.
And the thing is, when an injury or an accident happens during sex, you're already aroused, charged up, maybe even altered by what's going on. Whether or not you've had intoxicants, like you often get high, I often get high on sex. And so you are kind of in an altered state when this happens. So it's even more important that we have preloaded some strategies and thoughtfulness into this. You were a lifeguard, right? A beach lifeguard. Mm-hmm. Imagine Charlotte as a beach lifeguard in her...
My 20s in California on the coast.
Which like most of the time things go right on a day at the beach, but you have to have your training so you can respond if someone calls for help or even just scrapes a knee, right?
Right. And having pre-thought about how we respond in a variety of situations is really helpful. So you can draw on that when you're feeling altered or worried or having all of the emotion of an urgent moment.
And first responders, you know, EMTs, you train partly by acting it out, by role playing and dragging healthy bodies out of a building under fake fire circumstances before you do it real. So we also want to encourage you to have some conversations with your lovers and gain some information and tools ahead of time, right? So that when things, if things, right, take a unexpected turn in moments of play. And again, this can be vanilla sex, kinkier sex, a roller skating date, any kind of intimate connection, there is a chance there's a risk. So how do we all kind of equip ourselves more? And may you never get injured. May your lovers be safe. But let's all skill up a little bit here. Because as I said, you know, so what happened to me, I'll share more of the actual story in our upcoming oral sex course. And that is a spoiler. I had an oral sex injury and it was quite severe. And it was quite in a moment of intense play and kinky play. And so I was in subspace. I was quite high and altered. And I am healed. Mostly, you might hear it in my mouth a little bit. We had to delay recording because of this. It had an impact on our life. But I feel okay about what happened, and my relationship with that lover is okay because we took some really clear steps and took care of me when it happened. And we did that together. And I really want to presence this, that erotic first aid is something that everyone involved in the incident does together, including the person that is perhaps hurt or injured, and that it's kind of a team effort. And that when injuries happen, usually they're no one's fault, no one's to blame, and we can respond to them in a unified way that keeps our erotic connection and perhaps even strengthens it. So that is the goal here, is to get you what you need, take care of the person that's hurt, and get to the other side even stronger than before the incident, right? And hopefully someday have something to laugh at.
Mm.
I'm not quite there yet.
Oh. And that's the ideal, but sometimes it actually is one person's responsibility, or it is a fault of somebody. And then that's a whole other layer of emotion to have to navigate that ideally you're putting to the side in that moment while you're dealing with the actual injury and accident. And so
that's you might have just come up with the fifth A of erotic first aid, because we had the four A's and you might have just added accountability.
Oof.
When we need it. And that is part of the debrief once everyone is okay.
Yeah.
But let's start at the beginning. So the four A's, and I think you now flexed it to five, Char.
Nice.
Way to add an
nice.
A to that. Yes. So first of all, Charlotte, please give us the four, perhaps five A's of erotic first aid.
Okay. So first comes awareness, then comes assessment, then action, then aftercare, and then we're adding accountability after that.
So awareness, assessment, action, aftercare, and maybe accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness. So one of the special things about sex injuries or accidents that happen in the heat of the moment is that awareness might not happen right away, or you might have enough endorphins in your system that you override the first signs of injury. So part of pleasure, what's fun about sex, is that we build up endorphins in our system, and these are endogenous painkillers that make us high and feel a little goofy and happy. I love endorphins. And depending on how you play, even just vanilla sex releases a lot of endorphins. But certainly if you're adding spanking or impact play or kink, you can get flooded with endorphins. And so that awareness of the first moment that something is not quite right, or that someone is actually injured, falls on both of you. And within sex, you have different kind of perspectives and positionality of injuries. So in this injury, it happened in my mouth and I felt it first and I didn't quite stop the action soon enough. And that was my first mistake, is the first moment I felt in my body like, ooh, something just happened that wasn't quite right. I should have stopped. I could have stopped. We shouldn't should on ourselves. I didn't because of the passion of the moment. I didn't want to stop. I was having a great time and I was hoping it was just like, you know, an owie that would go away. It didn't. It got worse. And so I had to stop the play. Eventually, he would have noticed. Or maybe the partner notices first, right? And if you're in any sort of topping situation and really observing your lover, you might notice first that something is not quite right. Their hand has gone cold. There's a circulation issue. One of the toys struck in a way that then caused bleeding. You know, something has gone wrong. So awareness can happen from either side, from any partner. And that is the first moment we need to stop what we're doing and move into assessment. So drawing awareness to the situation and kind of coming out of the high, coming down enough, snapping our attention. This is a moment of like, we need to choose to pay attention and mellow our own high and come down and choose to pay attention to the injury that has occurred. And that can be a tough moment because a lot of us, like when we're having sex, we don't want to stop. But we have to know when we have to call it. Mm-hmm. So I called it. We took a pause and I moved into the assessment situation, right? And assessment, so awareness is that first stage. The second is assessment, where we have to figure out what damage was done. How bad is it?
What does your body need? Do you need to go to urgent care? Do you need to Google real quick to find out if there's something else you can do? Really taking inventory of what the situation is.
Right. And when in doubt, call 911, yeah. Right? If your partner is non-responsive, not breathing, there's a major circulation or bleeding is unchecked, you call 911. And that is a step that none of us want to have to take, especially during a sex act, right? Again, our sexual shame or our fears or our worries or our relationship stuff can come up and like slow us down where otherwise a step would be obvious. And we need to get over that. And if the assessment is emergency and urgent, we need to call for help right away.
And most urgent care providers have seen everything.
Yes.
Like, let us remember that they really honestly have seen way more than we have. And like, let's not let sexual shame get in the way of getting the medical care that you or your partner need.
Right. And this is, you know, it's become a joke in the memes of like the toys that have been lost up people's butts. But things like that, if it happens to you, it's a joke and a meme because it's common.
Yeah, it really happens.
Right. So whether it's a sex injury or a kink injury or a masturbation injury even, right, this can happen alone. And we keep talking about as if there's two people in the room. A lot of sex injuries can happen alone during masturbation. So all of this can be self-applied. And so assessment, right? And part of assessment is if it's not at the 911 stage, right, then we're in that kind of other tier of, do we need to go to the hospital? Do we need to take you to a doctor? Or are we going to self-treat this? And in my most recent case, this was kind of the vague thing. Like, I didn't actually know how bad it was. And so in the meantime, right, my partner had chilled the fuck out. His own sexual needs were like now nowhere in our, you know, like we had stopped the scene, we had stopped play, and we were just taking care of me. And what he said to me is like, you have a lot of slut friends, like call a friend, ask them if this has ever happened to them. I feel like I should just, I don't want it to be this big mystery of what happened to me, like, right? So I was giving oral sex, I was getting face fucked, and my tongue got injured. Specifically, the frenulum of the tongue got ruptured during an intense session of irumashio, of consensual face fucking. And so I went to the mirror, part of the assessment.
Wait, but with that, I want to say it was just to do with the angle. Like it was like a bad angle moment, it sounds like.
Yes, it was. And this is what I will like. You know, it will become a parable in our upcoming oral sex course.
There will because, be teaching from this.
Oh, we won't mind. But it's actually was a really important lesson for me to learn, right? Because I lunged and he thrusted at the same time and the angle was wrong. So it was no one's fault. No one was too rough. I was too overeager. And
this is a sex act that you have enjoyed multiple times.
I love
before,
it. I love it. As many, I said, I didn't want to stop and I was lost in the pleasure of it. And so it didn't even like hurt that bad. I just realized something was wrong in my mouth. And then I went and looked in the mirror and, you know, I saw the injury and I started freaking out. Mm-hmm. So now we have two situations and I want to draw attention to this, that when there's a sex injury, there's both the injury itself and there's the kind of like, holy shit, that just happened. The rupture of the energy, the breaking of the scene's energy, the disruption of the erotic sexual connection. And that needs to be tended to here as well, right? So we're dealing with both the physical, what happened. And at this point, I just want to mention my previous sex injury, which was a much more simple thing. We were fucking and the bed frame broke. And in the bed coming crashing down, I got injured on my leg and got a cut. So my shin was cut and kind of banged up and bruised and bleeding a little bit, but not a huge deal. And in that case, my partner like didn't even notice that I was hurt and was so worried about the bed frame. He was like getting tools out of his truck to fix the fucking bed frame before he ever tended to me. And I ended up like calling Charlotte and getting support from her. And that really fucked up our relationship because I did not feel cared for at all. So that was kind of the example for me that showed what happens if we lack erotic first aid.
Right. So there's the physical accident or incident that happens, and then there's the emotional and caretaking experience that happens and how people respond. Yeah. And that really affects the experience and the integration of the accident.
No matter how bad the injury is, right? Yeah. When like a rupture like this occurs, there's what's going on with the physical body and what's going on with the emotions and the relationship. So we've just done awareness and assessment. And that assessment, so I called my friends, I texted my slut friends, you can get on Google. And once my friends told me, oh, this has happened to me before, this happened to someone I know, it's no big deal, it'll heal in a few days. One of my friends even said, like, my tongue worked better afterwards. Good luck, buddy. I was able to then Google it, get more information, see that unanimously this was not a hospital-bound injury. So we could move into taking action for the well-assessed injury, right? So we've done awareness and we've done assessment. And again, this could happen in a moment, right? Something happens, you check in, are you okay? Yes, you keep going, right? And so we need to like know that this can be a momentary thing or much more of a process. I want to take a minute and thank our sponsor for this episode and then come back and talk about action and aftercare and maybe accountability if needed. And, you know, accountability is always a good thing. Like that debrief of what happened and what can we do to prevent it next time is always a really good step. So we're going to add it five A's of erotic first aid. And we will be back with the next three after our break to thank our sponsor for this episode. We were so grateful to our sponsor for this week, Factor Meals. All week long, we were singing their praises as we devoured their chef-designed, ready-to-eat meals that they generously delivered straight to our door, along with wellness shots like lemon cayenne turmeric deliciousness that we guzzled down before recording this week. And Factor Meals saved us time and money this week with restaurant-quality, ready-to-go meals already in our fridge. We didn't go out to eat a few times because we had Factor waiting for us, like vegan mushroom marsala that was so good. I'm still daydreaming about it. Head to factormeals.com/pleasure50 for 50% off your order. That's factormeals.com/pleasure50. Use the code pleasure50 for 50% off your deliveries. This link will be in the show notes and at pleasuremechanics.com/toolbox, where you'll find all of the links from our generous sponsors. Yes? So now the five A's of erotic first aid. We have talked about awareness and assessment, which is really that process of what happened, how bad is it, what steps do we need to take? And then we can move into appropriate action. Action. And this is where the heart of it happens. Like, how do we express care, take care of one another, tend to one another, tend to the injury, but also to like the relationship? Because when a sex injury happens, there's a vulnerability in the room. I am who I am. I, Chris Maxwell Rose, in the midst of this sex injury, felt ashamed. I felt like I had let him down. I felt like I had done something wrong. I felt like I was a bad cocksucker all of a sudden. Oh. Do you know what I mean? I felt like I was a bad submissive. Like I was having this whole emotional response. And I look back at it now and I'm like, oh, baby, like, of course none of that's your fault. Like, of course you did nothing wrong. And the important thing here is he made me feel that way too. Right?
He made you feel like it was okay.
Yes. Yeah. He was reassuring, right? He was tending to me. He got me ice water. He brought me to bed, lied me down, made sure I was comfortable. We had to take care of my diabetes stuff because also what happened is I went into a little bit of shock, right? As I was having all these emotional feelings and looking at my mouth bleeding and wondering about if I would ever be able to podcast again, right? Like, we don't know what the stakes are when we're in the thick of it. Like, holy shit, how bad did I fuck this up? What is this going to cost me? And so I went into this state of kind of shock. And he knew me well enough. Like, the first thing we did was test my blood sugar, make sure my diabetes was okay, right? That first line of taking care of basic needs, and then just going into like deep, relaxed, chill out, like everything's going to be okay zone.
You know? So that's taking care of the practical needs, whatever that is, ice or whatever, and then going into like, what can we do to comfort you?
Yes.
You know, how do we have you feel comfortable, safe, taken care of? That's like bringing somebody water, making sure they're warm enough. Do they need a smoke? I don't know what their needs are. You know, all of those things to help just feel safe and taken care of, and they're prioritized.
Right. Like, you might bring someone a hoodie or a blanket, right? Because if an injury happens during sex and you're naked, all of a sudden you're injured and naked.
Cozy. Yeah.
And you might want some coziness. And this takes us into aftercare. But I want to linger in action for a minute, because it's easy to kind of think about, all right, what are the physical actions? Do we need Band-Aids versus blankets, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and most of us, hopefully, can come to a coherent sense of tending to that. Mm-hmm. And again, in if you can't, you ask for help. If things are beyond your skill set and like a bone is sticking out of a wound, like, you ask for help. And if it's just a Band-Aid, then you give the Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, this relational care that's happening, those actions are so much about affect, right? And knowing your partner well enough to know, like, how do they need to be cared for and tended to so they feel safe again? So they feel like still connected with you while this is happening.
Right. They're not alone having this experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this, we want to be prioritizing the person who is more hurt.
Right.
The other person is going to have a bunch of set of needs afterwards that will be attended to, hopefully. But we're focusing on the person where the injury is.
And you both might be hurt.
Yeah.
You both might be a little scraped up. Or, you know, I had to check, like, is your dick okay? Right. That hurt me. Did it hurt you? And so this can be really deeply mutual. But again, always centering and prioritizing the person most harmed by the incident. And resourcing from the out, right? So the person less harmed, and this is kind of a good visual to have in any form of harm or hurt, is to center the needs of the person most harmed or injured and resourced from the outside in, right? So the person who is less harmed goes and gets the ice.
Right?
And you can both be taken care of too.
Totally. But we're just wanting to encourage you to remember to try and stay connected relationally, like that you're centering caring for each other and that I'm here with you. Are you okay? We've got each other.
Yeah. This sucks, this dude is really nonchalant. Like, let's not like paint a really romantic picture of this. This was not this overly dramatic act of care. It was just like, here's some ice water. I'm going to sit with you. We're going to chill. We're going to like make sure you're okay. And I'm going to stay calm and connected to you.
And that's all it is. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
That's what matters in this moment.
You know, and he was sweet. And then like, and then a little bit of extra, right? And I think like, what are the emotional Band-Aids that are needed here? It's very easy to go to the visual things. I can put a Band-Aid on the scrape on your leg. But what emotional Band-Aids are needed? And he even said to me, like, you know, still a great cocksucker or something like that. Like, he reassured me that I had done nothing wrong and that things would be okay between us. And that's all I needed to hear, right? And then we shifted to aftercare. So after appropriate action has been taken and things are stabilized, and people have kind of come back to that sense of safe connection, right? Like, we're both on the same page, we're both normalized. Sometimes sex play can continue, Like sometimes you can keep going and other times you'll shift into a different activity. Like we went and had a smoke and cannabis on the porch and then watched some TV and like chilled out for a while and just like chilled. Mm-hmm. And then he fucked my brains out.
Because you were well enough. You felt.
Yeah, I was well enough and we still had all this erotic energy. And so I was like, you know, adjusted and then... we returned to an activity that was mutually enjoyable, whether that's TV or another sex act or some massage or some other kind of tending. And then aftercare extends far beyond the incident itself. So once things are stabilized, the next morning, the next day, you check in with each other. How are you feeling? How are things going? You know, is there anything you need from me? Aftercare is a beautiful thing. We've done episodes about it. Aftercare is important for no matter what kind of erotic connection we have, but especially if things have gone a little askew, you want to give extra aftercare.
And over time.
Yeah.
And that is so precious, the checking in. So you're feeling held.
Yeah.
And then that allows for more integration in the rest of your life that you are. Yeah, tended to over time instead of just right after.
Yeah. And he like offered me some healing food options and some suggestions on oral, you know, maintenance and care, right? Like he gave me a little bit of support just through text, right?
Right, but and like, he's been texting you every day to be like, how's your mouth? How's your tongue?
Every damn day.
Yeah, that's really
sweet. That consistency has allowed our relationship to feel intact, right? And so depending on your relationship, depending on the intensity of the injury or the accident, aftercare might look different. You might send flowers. You might do a little extra to tend to the person or resource your relationship to heal and strengthen your connection through and despite, and not even despite, like because of the fact that this happened. When we go through, Emily Nagoski was talking about this in her interview recently, like relationships are seasoned through change, through incidents. When you endure something, when you go through something together, you often come out the other side feeling strengthened if you have stayed connected. Mm-hmm. If that trust is breached, if that care is not offered, if the tending doesn't happen and one person ends up feeling alone in the incident, then things like resentment can creep in. Remember that time when this happened and you didn't even take care of me? And honestly, with the bed crashing incident, I didn't feel cared for at all, right? And then like Airbnb tried to charge us a thing and he like kind of made that my fault. And then I had to, you know, it was like, you know, like take care of it. Take care of me. Take care of the situation. This idea of taking care, making that very active.
And take care of the people first. Yeah. The things can happen after.
Say it again. Say it again. People first, possessions later.
After, right? Like the bed had no feelings, was going to be fine. Like, yes. We understand the desire to fix things and to navigate things, and this can be financial concern when it's a rental. All of those things are real, but like you being okay and getting an ice pack on your leg is what is most important in that situation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You were texting me, and I was like, "Do you have ice? Go get."
And all of this, when we think about self-applied erotic first aid, if your partner is not taking exquisite care of you, you can take all of these steps for yourself. And this idea of calling a friend or calling in your slut friends, like, let's all think about who are the people you can turn to for support and care when things are a little bit owie in all of the ways. And think for yourself, who are your slut friends? I happen to have incredible squads of slut friends who are far sluttier than I am. Who are your friends who are pleasure positive, sex positive, who you can have these kinds of conversations with, even if it's just a debrief the next day, like, yo, this really wild thing happened.
Not even if, that's really important. Yeah. That's part of the integration, is like telling our story and somebody supportive being like, oh, wow. Yeah. And being there for you and not shaming you and judging you.
And often again, that cycle of, oh, wow, are you okay? Do you need anything?
Yeah.
Right? That like, cycle of acknowledgement, assessment, resourcing, right? It feels good. And as I've told this story to more people and heard their stories of tongue frenulum lacerations and ruptures, it's been really interesting to hear about people's experiences and not feel alone and certainly not feel shamed. And I come to even take a little pride in it. Like, I did something hard and I survived it. And that social proof is really important. And some of us don't have those people, but y'all have us. Mm. We're here for you. The Pleasure Mechanics community is here for you. And if things like this happen, we are always here to support you. And if things like this happened to you 10 years ago, sometimes that resentment, and this is why this cycle is so important, sometimes resentment about shit like this can build up over years. And most of us have had moments where we were not taken care of or tended to the degree we needed at the time. And we can start rooting that shit out and tending to it now, resourcing ourselves, caring for ourselves and one another, and taking this on. Like, what does it mean to really care for one another? Before sex, during sex, any kind of erotic connection, any kind of roller skating date we're going on with someone, right? Like, there's so many different moments where we can take more exquisite care and change our experience of loving and experiencing one another. And I'm so grateful that I was given erotic first aid after this injury, because I feel into what would have happened if he had been cruel or teasing or just dissociated, got panicked, freaked out, and wasn't there for me. Mm-hmm. Which honestly, I think the fixing the bed frame was just his own form of like
panic,
fear, panic, yeah, response. Right. And so I hope this episode has preloaded us all with strategies and frameworks. Let's go over the 5 A's again.
Awareness.
Assessment.
Action.
Aftercare.
Accountability.
And let's touch on accountability for a second, because in most situations, it's nobody's fault. No one's to blame. Something just happened. Mm-hmm. Accidents happen, including mm-hmm. in sex. Sometimes there is a degree of responsibility. It's not always the tops or the person who's doing the actions, but sometimes there's degrees of responsibility that need to be accounted for. And accountability is really that step that says, we can name what happened with honesty and truth. We can take responsibility for what we did not do fully or optimally, and deeply learn and demonstrate that we will take better action in the future. That is accountability. It's not an apology, right? And with this partner, we kind of debriefed. So the debrief process of really going through what happened, you know, was it the position? Was it the angle? And coming to a conclusion together, like, that's the accountability, right? What do we need to do better next time for and with one another? And that feels good. That's part of the cycle. So thank you, Charlotte, for adding the 5th A of erotic first aid.
I just want to add again about the piece of like having community care or relational care around sex injuries and accidents. Like, if it was a skiing incident or accident, you would tell this story to a lot of people. You would have this conversation a number of times, and that is a part of the mm-hmm. integration in our life. But because yeah. sex is so private in this culture, we might tend to just keep it private, and then it kind of has more and more energy mm-hmm. in our body and in our memories and in our system. So like, if there are ways to tell this story, to have some social care, whether that is just with your lover or with supportive friends or community mm-hmm. or with us, as Chris said, like mm-hmm. I think it really is important, and one that is easy to overlook mm-hmm. in the realm of sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to share your story with us and how you were tended to or not
yeah.
after your sex injury, you can call our sex injury hotline. I like that. Come over to pleasuremechanics.com/hello. And you can record us a voice memo and share your story with us. Let us know what happened and how you were taken care of or not. And just that act of speaking it out loud to our compassionate ears is a valuable step. Mm-hmm. Or tell a friend about a sex injury that happened to you a long time ago. Start a conversation this way. Let's all talk about this more, because it happens. And the more we normalize the fact that it happens and train up in these layers of skills, right? We just named a lot of different skills. We can show up for one another as better lovers and take bigger risks because we feel safer with one another. I feel safer with this lover now, having had this occurred. And that's pretty cool as an outcome. So onwards and cheers to your safety. We love you. May you be protected. May you be safe while you explore the edges of what is possible. We are here for you 24/7 at pleasuremechanics.com. And skill up with us. Train your touch. Dive into our resources. We have so much to offer beyond this podcast. You'll find it all at pleasuremechanics.com/love. We love you. Take care. See you next time. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.